Welcome back. Well, today the World Bank released its 11th edition of the South Africa Economic Update and lifted the country's GDP forecast to 1.4%, up from its September forecast of 1.1%. The International Financial Institution, however, has warned that we still need policy interventions to stimulate competition and create the fiscal space needed to eventually build up a skilled labor force in this modest growth environment. Marek Hanush, who's senior economist at the World Bank, joins us on the line now with more insight into this update. Thanks so much, Marek, for joining us on the line this evening. So you're expecting a mild improvement in South Africa's economic growth. It is a very slight improvement, with growth expected to accelerate from 1.3% last year to 1.4% this year. And that, I guess, an indication of how slowly you see the renewed optimism and improved confidence levels translating into actual economic fundamentals.
Alicia, thanks for having me on your show. Yes, that's right. We have increased our growth forecast to 1.4%. That's up from 1.3% last year. One of the reasons that we're only at 1.4% is that we believe that this agricultural recovery that has been happening in response to the dissipating effects of the drought is basically over, in our opinion. So if it hadn't been for the agricultural recovery last year, the economy would have grown at 0.9% in 2017. So we actually believe that the increase to 1.4% is relatively strong. We're very happy that we'll be really glad to be wrong on this forecast, and we will be glad to revise it upwards in later in the year to maybe closer to 2%, but lots of other analysts have. But for that, we still want to wait to see whether investors that is actually coming through based on this renewed confidence. We don't quite see that in the numbers yet. So we just be cautious, and we're just going to wait a little more before we revise upwards further.
Yeah. Marek, you also talk about fundamental policy action needing to take place through policies that can foster inclusive growth and reduce inequality in the country. With that, you must be keeping an eye on the developments and negotiations that are happening around the South African Mining Charter. How encouraged are you by what's surfacing on that front?
We're very encouraged, in fact. So I just heard today a Minister Montashe say that they expect to resolve issues around the mining charter around May. This will be excellent news. We have been doing some modeling on what this will mean for this economy. We believe that investment will pick up about 25% in the mining sector alone. If that happens, the only concern we have a little bit in the mining space is that a lot of the commodities that South Africa has are not necessarily the commodities that are currently particularly popular, such as coal and gold, and even to an extent iron ore. So even if the policy uncertainty around mining is resolved, commodity prices may not mean that the mining sector just picks up as much as we would like to see.
So that being said, Marek, I mean, you know, where one would expect the kind of investment boost to have an impact on labor demand in a labor-intensive sector of the economy, just how much of a solution do you see this improvement bringing to South Africa's job scenario, which is very bleak?
Yeah, that is an excellent question, and that is precisely what we're trying to focus in the report this time. So a very clear message that comes out of our most recent research is that growth is simply not enough, because growth does not reduce inequality. If it is growth that is highly capital intensive, such as in the mining sector, that type of growth does give you impetus that can help create jobs, and it gives you impetus that can be that can grow the government budget, that can be used for other types of policies, but really we focus very much on these other types of policies. And as you rightly say, this is a highly skilled economy, so therefore this economy needs skills. So you cannot have growth without creating skills at the same time, and that's why in our study we very much focus on intervention with basic education and access tertiary education in order to make sure that it's broad-based growth that also reduces inequality and doesn't just increase inequality.
So what's your view then on access to free tertiary education and that providing a boost to developments that demand skills that the country's poor currently lack? And I ask the question because while it has been welcomed, things aren't happening at the foundation level as you highlight, targeting the basic level of education very broad-based.
You're absolutely hitting the nail on the head here. The changes need to happen in the basic education system to make sure people have the right qualifications or the right the right knowledge that it takes in order to be eligible for university. However, what we do see in the data very clearly is that there's a significant number of poor people who do not make it to university simply because they cannot afford it. So even before fee-free higher education was announced, we were already modeling and finding in our results that supporting free access for poor households that includes accommodation and food and the like will actually reduce inequality. It is a relatively low-hanging fruit because these guys are close to joining the labor market. You will have impact relatively soon.
Well, let's leave it there. Marek, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Marek Hanush is Senior Economist at the World Bank.